My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duck Feed show about Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and El Camino.
And this week we are starting the second half of season 5. We're talking about Blood Money, an episode written by Peter Gould, directed by Bryan Cranston, and originally aired on August 11th of 2013.
Yeah, season 5 part 2, where a lot of the episode titles sound like Steven Seagal movie subtitles. You know, Confessions, Blood Money. You know, there's a lot of this stuff going on. The titles get a little generic.
They do.
At this point. This picks up immediately after the finale of the first half of the season. Hank has his toilet realization. Sees his brother-in-law as Heisenberg due to a misplaced book.
Yes. You got to keep your inscriptions secret, people.
Got to keep them high if you want to keep them dry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot leave those things around.
You really can't. And this is inconvenient because Walt and Skyler are finally in a good place.
Yes. Yeah. They've retired. You know, they're retiring. They're going to retire. You know, we get this glimpse of how good he and Skyler have it. They're getting along. Things start to crumble again, though, because Walt can't get away from this. There are consequences, both in terms of Hank and the other lingering Lydias.
Yeah. You know, Jesse's and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything is going to start falling apart because Jesse, you know, he's still mentally wrecked from, you know, shooting a kid or watching Todd shoot a kid. And he's trying to find a way to offload his money, which Walt handed over.
Mentally wrecked from that and intuiting that Mike is dead.
Yep.
Like, he just, you know, like, he's scared of Walt at this point. This is the premiere of a second half of a season. This was a thing that used to happen. I don't know if this still happens.
I think that they just wait 5 years between seasons now.
Yeah. This is just a little rant. This has nothing to do specifically with this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Nope.
I'm not going to watch anything that isn't finished. I've decided. Because everyone's like, oh, you're going to fucking love Severance. And like, I'm sure I'm going to love Severance. But everyone just was like, oh man, season 2, the fucking finale, you know, it's so cool. And then it just, who knows when the new one's going to come out.
Yeah.
I should have learned my lesson through Venture Brothers. You know, but that TV was different then. Now, there's a lot of TV out there. I'm not doing this anymore.
Nope.
This bullshit. And this was only 11 months, which felt really agonizing, right?
It really did.
Was very, very difficult. But now it's like, who even knows? You know, 2-3 years, fuck it.
Yeah.
Everything's the Venture Brothers now.
Yeah. And I also need to see if the series is just going to get shit-canned, you know, 2 years after the first season airs for tax purposes. We live in hell.
Is this going to finish? I'm not getting invested in any new characters I don't get closure on. Just because there's unlimited characters.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, this sucked. It was really hard. This was very, very difficult.
Yeah. But God, we're entering this period. Like, this is when we were, like, we started watching, like streams of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is also watching the streams of it and then going, the Hollywood Theater in Portland was screening episodes of it very illegally, I'm sure. But every once in a while, a big community thing will happen. They'll just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Come on down for free and watch Breaking Bad with us.
We're going to be watching it anyway.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was a very electric time for that. Having watched the second half of the season, this second half is like, I feel like one episode longer than it needs to be. Like almost it gets a tiny amount flabby and you can tell because they expanded it.
Yeah.
You know, from 13 to 8 or 16 episodes total for the story.
Yeah. Like, you know, last season, or the beginning of the season, rather, we open up on a flash forward that shows the White's house abandoned and dilapidated. They were originally going to bulldoze the house.
Saving the current owners thousands of pizzas thrown on the roof.
Yeah, I think that very angry woman didn't let them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this episode has a sad note dedicated to someone named Kevin Cordasco, who is a 16-year-old fan of the show who passed away from neuroblastoma. He met with the producers and they were like, we can tell you how it ends. Like, you can read these final scripts if you want to. He said no, he didn't think he could keep them a secret. And unfortunately passed away.
Yeah, so that is
very sad thing.
That is very sad. Also, I cannot imagine being that selfless.
Yeah, I would say yes. You know, I wouldn't leak them.
Right.
You know, you and I are a different breed. Like we control what buttons we press.
Yeah.
Thing. We just have a different experience to temptation than people I'm picking up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I definitely would have taken it, but also I'm not, you know, wasn't in that situation.
Yeah. I would have made Vince Gilligan act him out for me and do all the voices.
Well, he met the cast. Like he should have asked to go into like the table reads or something.
I would have had everyone play the character they're left.
Uh-huh.
I would have really fucked with him if I had this kind of power.
Oh yeah.
That's the kind of breed I am.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wouldn't have leaked it, but I would have been a real imp.
Yeah. Dance puppets.
Little stinkers dying. Do uh-huh. things for him.
Yeah. But instead he had to go and be a saint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Poor kid.
Let's get into it.
Let's. Like I said, the house is in ruins. Walt is back from New Hampshire, and kids are skateboarding in the pullout back behind mm-hmm. the house. Everything is fenced off and condemned. A Heisenberg was here.
Yes, quite literally. Mm-hmm. Walt pulls up with the car that he picked up that has the machine gun in the trunk, mm-hmm. Grabs a tire iron from the back and goes inside. The house is absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
The carpet's pulled up. There's trash everywhere. Somebody has spray painted Heisenberg in big yellow mm-hmm. paint. And Walt doesn't try to climb it weirdly enough.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes into the bedroom and he's here for a reason. He uses a coin to unscrew the outlet cover and grab the ricin. There's a Chekhov's ricin still to account for.
Yeah, it's back in play. That live grenade is rolling around and will roll around until the end of the season.
Yes, that along with the gun in the trunk.
Yes.
These two things the writers did to themselves. Mm-hmm. He leaves. He sees his neighbor, Carol, who's very terrified, gives a real hello, Carol. And she drops her bag of groceries. I love it when everyone drops a bag of groceries and they just picked up miscellaneous.
Uh-huh.
Like three oranges always roll out.
Yeah. You know? And everybody goes nuts. You know, it's a Godfather thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But yeah, he doesn't care if he gets caught.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're back, you know, in real time. Hank leaves the bathroom and he is absolutely shell-shocked. Dean Norris is doing amazing work this episode.
Yeah. This season.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a Hank highlight season is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, this is the conflict that was like foreshadowed the entire time, and to finally get it as a huge payoff after, like, I wouldn't call Gus Fring a distraction, but like,
no.
This has kind of always been the sword of Damocles hanging over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the thing he took for granted,
mm-hmm.
you know, both of them took for granted.
Yes.
About each other. He's got the book. He stashes in Marie's bag and he comes out and we get a little bit of cleverness as they're bantering. The family's bantering. Marie says to Walt, "You are the devil." And Hank turns and winks. He's having a really hard time. He's like, we got to go. Sorry. You know, my stomach, no, I'm fine. You know, yeah. doing the Hank. No. They does.
Yeah.
But they've got to go.
He wants to get out a minimum of words. Yeah.
Yes. Walt stops him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, "Hey, you know, you okay? You okay to drive?" Hank says, "Yes." And they he's okay. They go back inside. Walt does not suspect anything yet.
No. He just says, "Hello, Carol," to his neighbor. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And Hank is driving and fading in and out. You know, we hear Marie talking kind of in the background, and then he plows through a fence and like gets out. It legitimately looks like he's having a heart attack.
Yeah. He has a panic attack,
mm-hmm.
you know, from this, Marie calls for someone to call, yells for someone to call an ambulance. You know, it's rough mm-hmm. stuff. We cut to later. He's home. He cuts off his hospital bracelet and Marie is arguing about it. Like, "Oh, you left the ER," and he knows what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, he knows he had a panic attack.
Yeah. He's aware of his panic disorder. Yeah.
He's had a panic attack before. He tells Marie, he's like, "Don't tell Skylar about this hospital trip."
Yeah.
You know, in no uncertain terms, and then pulls out the poetry book and compares the handwriting.
Yes.
You know, so this is definitely Gail's handwriting.
Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, the trap is springing shut.
Yeah.
Right?
Fuck.
You know? I love this scene. Walt and Skylar are at the car wash. You know, talking about business, talking about logistics, and Walt proposes rearranging the air freshener scents. This is so penny ante. Also, what a fucking nightmare.
I love the idea of this doesn't happen. It happens to Saul, uh-huh. in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
But the idea of Walt being in this and concerning himself with air conditioner scents, like how long it would be before he sought danger. You know, he says like he's done.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to believe him. But I like that we get the counterfactual with Saul.
Yes.
You know, who just gets squirrely, you know, rearranging air fresheners.
Yes.
You know, rearranging Cinnabons for so long that he can't do it.
Just Walt saying, it doesn't really make any sense to have bubble gum next to Alpine Wind, does it?
Yeah. The food next to the mints. Yeah. And then he says, you know, hey, you know, if our stories were a successful car wash, we should buy another car wash. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be successful car wash owners. And mm-hmm. Skylar's into it. Like, they're getting along and planning.
Yeah. She's already, like, thought of a location, but says, you know, let's talk about it. Right?
Yep. Walt goes inside and Lydia shows up and drops her car off with Skylar. Mm-hmm. You know, Skylar looks at the keys a little odd. Lydia has the worst poker face in the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love that Lydia goes up to Walt. I love this, like, him having this stony demeanor. It's very mm-hmm. Gus.
Yep.
You know, and also just imagine the jump scare.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, it's like running into your ex, like 1,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she walks up and is talking about the meth, and Walt is just walking her through the car wash transaction, you know, not giving her anything, but, you know, whispering in between. You know, she says 68% and falling. And Walt says, basically, that is your problem. I left a viable operation. The rest is up to you.
Yeah. And keeps kind of talking about the car wash here. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, come back, you know, give me a week, get the operation running better. Mm-hmm. You know, he's refuses. And she says, kind of a threat, you're putting me in a box here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're forcing me into something. Skylar walks in and, you know, asks who that was. And she's like, oh, you know, and at this part says, you know, oh, who washes a rental car?
Mm-hmm.
And then Walt owns up.
Yeah.
You know, a former business associate. We're mm-hmm. done. I told her to leave.
Yes. Yeah. Which is a good move.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, Walt knows what Lydia does when she feels like she's in a box. So
yeah. Yeah. That's Lydia's big flaw.
Yes.
Like, Lydia overreacts and cannot be scared in a business where being scared is very much a part of it.
Yes.
You know, so Skylar comes out and confronts Lydia, you know, never come back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you are, but literally never show your face here again.
Yeah.
And Lydia seems cowed and then starts planning to have hitmen come kill Skylar, probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to enlist the Nazis.
Yeah.
So it's morning and Hank is hanging out outside the house. He's skipping work and Marie is happy with this. You know, take your time, recover. And Hank is staying home because he's got some private investigation to do. DEA guys are dropping off a hand truck full of evidence boxes.
Yep. We get this montage of Hank laying everything out. You know, mm-hmm. We see it's kind of a retrospective for the series.
Yes.
You know, we're seeing a lot of faces we haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We get Combo. We get Teenage Combo.
I love Combo's yearbook photo.
Yeah. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
He rewatches the security cam footage from the first methylamine heist
mm-hmm.
when Jesse and Walt didn't roll the barrel.
Yeah.
They carried it. And just, you know, could that be fucking Walt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then ends with him looking at the cartel photo of Heisenberg.
Yes.
That the cousins have made. And it does look a little bit like Walt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks a little bit like Walt. It also looks a little bit like the drawing of that leprechaun from the viral news video.
It does look a little bit like that leprechaun, which, like, that was actually, you know, it's really good that that one kid didn't ask Vince to see the final scripts, because at that point, that was the direction they were going.
And he
would have been very
time.
Disappointed about the leprechaun hunt. That would have been the second half of the season.
Yeah. He didn't buy an M60 machine gun. He bought that flute.
Yeah. It does end with him shooting leprechauns.
Yeah. You know, it was a weird direction, but they were behind it the whole time.
Magical realism.
The clues were there.
Yeah. Jesse is trying to have fun with his friends and trying to forget things. You know? And we get a very Peter Gould scene mm-hmm. of Badger and Skinny Pete, you know, having a stoner conversation, like a Clerks conversation about Star Trek transporters.
Yeah.
You know, at first doing the Soma stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, then transitioning into something more fun and stupid.
Yeah. Trying to do some kind of, like, crossover between Star Trek and Stand By Me.
Yeah, yeah. The idea of teleporting food out of you. You know, it's a question that does pop up when you're a nerd and you're thinking about transporters.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of in general, like, is food you eat part of you?
Yeah.
You know, at what point does something become part of your body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, is urine you? Is shit you? Is blood you? Like, what things are you?
Yeah. And, you know, like, what is it basing your reconstruction on the other side off of?
Yeah, yeah. There's so much shit.
Yeah.
You know, and Badger tells about this spec script where Chekhov is having a pie eating contest. There's a big blueberry pie eating contest. Chekhov is cheating by having Scotty teleport the blueberry pie bits out of his guts, but then he sees Uhura's tits and accidentally teleports his intestines out.
Yes.
Fun little TV tropes note. This is no longer funny because the actor who played Chekhov in the new movies died.
Oh.
They're like, oh, him dying in a pie eating contest now has a grim shadow because he died in a car accident.
Did he die in a blueberry pie eating contest?
Yeah, no. And he's also, they're not talking about this. I think he's talking about old Star Trek. I don't think he's talking about the new movies.
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah, this is like 2000, like, this is 2010. Like,
Like I don't, Anywho, Jesse is spaced out. Jesse doesn't give a shit.
No. In fact, just like he gets up in the middle of this and goes to leave and takes his big duffel bags. You know, Badger says, hey, you're missing the best part.
Yeah. Chekhov dying. He goes to Saul's waiting room and he's being ignored by Francesca and Huel. Huel's there. So he pulls out a joint, lights it up.
Mm-hmm. And there are kids in the room.
Causing a scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saul lets him in. You'll call it Woody Harrelson live and in person because it's pot. That's a big Woody Harrelson thing.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also doesn't perform live.
That is true.
So
Saul says, you know, listen, if I knew you, it was you, I would have let you in. I wasn't screening you. I've warned Francesca one more time. It's back to the DMV.
Which takes on such a bleak character. Given Better Call Saul, I'm so impatient to talk about like my favorite arc on that, which is the gradual erosion of Francesca's soul.
That's a good arc. Favorite arc is a big they are really paying attention to something that you would not expect them to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which I like.
Oh, if only she went back to the DMV.
Would have been good for her. You know, Jesse says he's got like, listen, you know, this is the job for you. I got these two bags. It's half of my money. Mm-hmm. Half of this goes to Kaylee Ehrmantraut. The other half goes to Drew Sharp's parents.
Mm-hmm.
Saul has heard of Drew Sharp.
Yes. The kid on the TV.
The news and stuff. Yeah. He does not know that his boys are involved.
Yeah. Why would you? Well, they're the Forrest Gumps of the Southwest.
It very, very much the Forrest Gumps of the Southwest. Most of the other thing that they cut out of those final scripts was making lists in a Southern accent, which if you think about Forrest Gump, that's most of that movie.
Yep.
Like listing rain, listing shrimp, listing famous people, listing states.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in the 90s, we were absolutely fucking apeshit for Tom Hanks in a Southern accent just saying a list of nouns.
Yeah. No, that was Bubba. That was Bubba who listed. Well,
Bubba
the things.
Did one of them, but he also did that when he talked about the states he ran through and stuff.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. I guess you're right.
And people he met and Dr. Pepper. I think he talked about like ways to drink Dr. Pepper at one point. Uh-huh. There were a lot of, I guess, Southern people doing lists.
Yeah.
Bubba did like listing shrimp though.
Mm-hmm. He did like listing shrimp, and none of that holds a candle to Best in Show.
It's also like they had to. It's like something somebody would do if they're writing an essay and they had to stretch the word count.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wonder how much of that script is just like, ah, oh, shit, we got to get to enough pages. Have Bubba list some more shrimp.
It's like, already a really long movie.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. You know, don't tell me that you guys killed Drew Sharp.
Yeah.
At this point. And Saul says this is a dumb idea.
Yep.
All this is going to do is make sure the Sharp parents suspicious. What they'd really want to know is where their kid is.
Yes.
You know, and why on earth would you give money to Kaylee? He says, so you and Mike have been in touch, you know, Saul said, you know, and Saul at this point also doesn't know exactly what's, you know, he probably has an idea about Mike.
Yeah.
He says, you know, Mike got out, you know, two steps out of the cops. If we give this money to Kaylee, they're going to take it toot sweet.
Yep.
You know, it's going to set them right back on us and they're going to take the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesse isn't hearing any of it. He wants to be rid of it. Says, you know, just get it done. Yep. And Saul calls Walt because this is bad news.
Yes. Season two style bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse wilding out. You know, Walt says, hold on to the money. I'll handle it. He hangs up. We see he's in the chemo center again.
Yes. That's the news that he got at the oncologist. At the end of the, you know, last half season.
It's no good. We get a really good scene here that I like quite a bit. You know, Jesse's lying under his coffee table, looking up at a cockroach crawling over the glass, just, you know, depressed.
Yeah.
And Walt knocks and Jesse lets him in.
Uh-huh. I love any shot in something where somebody is framed by a thing in the frame. That's like catnip to me.
Yeah. Looks good. Mm-hmm. Walt asked Jesse, like, what were you thinking? Mm-hmm. You know, like, why did you do this? This is going to get us in trouble.
Yeah. Aaron Paul doing amazing work with a very muted kind of performance here. Like, he sounds like he's a million miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
it's really good.
You know, it's like you said, it's blood money. And Walt, in his, you know, radical honesty era up to a point, says, no, I was trying to win an argument. That's not true. You know, what you said is wrong. Of course it's blood money, right?
But that's the thing. Walt is still centering himself in this where he thinks that everything Jesse does is solely because of words he says.
Yeah.
He still thinks he has Jesse under complete control. Jesse didn't do this because Walt won an argument about blood money.
No.
Like, that has nothing to do with this. He was already feeling all these things. This is cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, no, I was wrong to say that. You know, you earned that money. And Jesse winces, mm-hmm. you know. And Walt, you know, ponies out his line. Mm-hmm. You know, Drew Sharp, that is a terrible memory, no doubt about it.
And I want him to read this in a Robert Evans voice.
I love it. These
kids' days in the terrible picture. Memory?
Yeah. The boy, shot. The bike, dissolved. The tarantula, fate unknown.
So if you blast, want to do it again? I don't know. Maybe it would happen.
would I do it again? Absolutely. He says, but son, you know, you need to stop focusing on the darkness behind you. The past is the past. Nothing can change what you've done. But now that's over. You're out and so am I. And he lays this out a little bit like as a reveal.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, Jesse does not know that he's quit. He's saying, like, listen, we're done with this. And what I love about this is that, like, this is crappy on Walt's case. You can never be clean. It's one of the themes of the show. Mm-hmm. Walt believes this. On some level, I think that, you know, earlier when I was saying that, I think he might have gotten in trouble eventually from being bored about air fresheners.
Uh-huh.
That's only provided he doesn't die. The fact that he knows he has to deal with that for a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, is probably what keeps him in that. There's part of him who does really want this, though. Like, he's like, just retire and be a millionaire, Jesse, mm-hmm. and live your life and do whatever you want. I'm going to do that, too. We fucking made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take yes for an answer. Like, we succeeded.
Yeah.
We did it. It sucked, but we mm-hmm. got through it.
Yeah.
You know, but the price has been too much.
Yeah.
Here. And, you know, Jesse's just kind of nodding along. And I love this. Walt says, why would you try to give money to Kaylee? And Jesse, again, honest. Uh-huh. She needs someone looking after her. You know, took care of his guys.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was never going to allow that if he was still alive. So I think he's dead. And I think you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just great chills, really good performance.
Yeah.
Great exchange.
Mm-hmm. And this is the second person who's put it together.
Yes.
You know, or at least who's expressed, you know, that they, you know, that they kind of know, you know, Walt never should have asked that question about Kaylee. Right.
No.
But
like, that could have just been a thing that they both knew.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, but he understands on some level that if Jesse officially believes he killed Mike, he no longer has Jesse, which is true.
Yeah.
You know, but he needs Jesse to sign off on it.
Mm-hmm. And he needs to know that Jesse doesn't consider him a threat. And, you know, that's just never, it's never going to be the case.
Yep. He says, like, listen, Jesse, I need you to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really great stuff. This gets shadowed later on an exchange they have. Their last, like, exchange before the time jump,
mm-hmm.
actually. Like, I love the Walt Jesse stuff.
Yeah.
In the season. And Jesse repeats it back to him. He's like, I believe you.
Uh-huh.
You know, just, and it's like, okay, like, who knows who believes what?
Mm-hmm.
We're just, this is the official stance. I can move on. I've got bigger problems.
Yeah.
You know?
The lights out, but Jesse still works.
Right? Yep. Exactly. You
know. So
things are getting worse for Walt.
Yeah, they're eating dinner, you know, not a fishbowl of white wine in sight.
Nope. Yeah, they've stopped drinking. Skyler says, oh, you know, we had plans to go bowling with Hank and Marie. We're not going. He's still not feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
Walt excuses himself to go to the bathroom. At first you think he's going there because he's worried about Hank, but it's uh-huh. to vomit. He's not being open about what bad shape he's in.
Mm-hmm.
He looks up at the magazine basket and notices his copy of Evidence is missing.
Yes. Yeah, it's gone. And he's still looking for it at night, kind of unhingedly, you know, has a flashlight and is looking under the bed and behind the bed. He asks Skylar, you don't think Junior, you're kidding me.
It's very funny for Junior to get real into Walt Whitman.
Yeah, Junior's more of a Tennyson man.
Yeah, all teens go through a big Whitman phase. You got Whitman kids and Frost kids, and never the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
So Walt says, you know, what is wrong with Hank? You know, and she's like, oh, you know, Marie says he hasn't felt well all week. And he starts putting it together. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes outside, he checks his car wheel well and finds a GPS tracker. You know, shit, this is the worst possible thing that could happen.
Yep.
You know, this fucking sucks.
Yeah. You can't outrun it. It's impossible. Yep. Jesse's sleeping in his car outside of the doghouse. And an unhoused guy is, you know, scrounging for some cans and knocks on the window to wake Jesse up, asking for some change. And first Jesse tries to brush him off, but then, you know, realizes, oh, I am trying to get rid of money here.
I do have change.
Uh-huh.
You know, gives him, you know, a stack of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then starts driving around a neighborhood, throwing these stacks of cash out.
Yeah.
Like paperboy.
Yeah. $5,000, $10,000 at a time.
Yeah. Just big chunks there. We cut over to Hank's garage. The DEA guys drop off more evidence. You know, like, hey, what should we tell Steve? And Walt pulls up and interrupts him. Mm-hmm. You know, I love this little bit here. Walt's just like talking to the dudes. He knows Hank's coworkers.
Uh-huh.
And Hank dismisses them.
Yep.
You know, Hank's like, hey, are you guys being paid or not? Uh-huh. And gets them to leave. Like, I love, like, he can't even let this go on.
No.
You know?
Yeah. And Walt like knows down to the detail, like, oh, your kid's in this Little League tournament, and just making dad talk like, oh, the crowd's going to be pretty big.
Big shades of Gus, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, cozying up to these people and their personal lives.
Yeah.
And Walt comes in and says, I just came to check on you, buddy. You know, like, I really hope you feel better. And then he turns to leave. And this is, you know, I hate calling out things that Walt does that are kind of badass.
Uh-huh.
But this is kind of badass.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, just the delivery. He just gets punched in the face, and it doesn't end the way he wants to. But this is a cool move.
Yeah.
You know, the confidence is fun to watch.
Yeah. He almost walks away. Like, he almost lets it go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, reaches into his pocket and pulls out the GPS tracker and says, believe it or not, I found this on my car. You know, just like. You know,
looks like the one we used on Gus Fring, right?
You know, you and that me, weird? The only two people who knew about this, you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that weird? You know, and again, also really badass. Hank just reaches over and closes the garage door behind him.
I can't see this scene without thinking about that edit that you sent me.
Oh, yeah. It's good shit.
Yeah.
Just the Breaking Bad edits are very good if you haven't fucked around with it on YouTube. Yeah.
Was that a Breaking Bad but Nobody's Careful?
I think that's part of the Breaking Bad but Nobody's Careful.
Yeah, just the garage door going up and down, interrupting things.
He just keeps interrupting with the garage door. And I think there are people watching when it opens.
Uh-huh.
Who are just standing outside. Just I think all the DEA guys are just looking at him as they have the conversation.
But yeah, you know, closes them in. And Walt says, I gotta say, I don't like the way you're looking at me right now. And there's a pregnant pause, and Hank punches Walt right in the face.
Yep. And it just, it's a great performance. You know, it was you. He lists all, you did all these, you called Marie, you turned into traffic, you bombed a nursing home.
Uh-huh.
Like, these are, like, all that shit, holy shit, you know.
Yeah,
it was all, you lying too fast, face sack of shit.
Uh-huh.
You know, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Just the whole riot act here. Like, obviously Hank has been, you know, sitting on this, holding this in. It's had to come out. And here they are face to face. And I really like Walt, the way that Walt reacts to this. Again, you don't want to hand it to him. It is pretty badass.
Yeah.
What his ultimate response is. Yeah.
We're not made of stone.
Nope.
You know, and also somebody being badass does not necessarily mean that they are.
I mean, they're right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're right. Like it's the Rorschach lesson. The Rorschach lesson.
And this is like a little bit clever, but not in a way that's like immediate. He doesn't deny it, but he also doesn't accept blame either. Like there is a huge amount of uncertainty. You know, that is kind of being, you know, being played with here thematically, right?
Yeah. He says, you know, he's like, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. These accusations are going to tear our family apart for nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't give a shit about family. You don't. And he says, listen, my cancer's back. And Hank like his face, he kind of takes a second, like he winces at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really great. Great acting. You know, and then he, after doing that, he comes back, he goes, you know, good, you know, I hope you rot. Uh-huh. And it hurts him to say it.
Yeah.
You know, just, and I love, Walt is making this logical case. In 6 months, you're not going to have someone to prosecute.
I'm never going to see, like, the inside of a jail cell.
Yeah. This is literally, there's no point. Mm-hmm. Even if you're right, which I'm not admitting, nothing, this isn't going to play the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, Walt's right. You know, in terms of self-preservation, giving this up is the only thing from this point on that would save Hank's life.
Yes.
You know, and it would be unjust to do so. He can't do it. It's the purpose. But Walt is right.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse giving up on this and just being like, I'm a millionaire, I'm going to stop fucking around. That would save his life.
Yeah.
You know, they were out, but you can't be out.
Nope. You know, like not everybody has Walt's superpower, you know,
yeah.
the denial that he is capable of. Right.
Yeah. You compartmentalization know, elemental.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like he is really overestimating Hank's ability to just let this slide. Right.
Yes. You know, he says the same way he wanted to walk away without thinking about the tracker and be like, I just don't want to deal with this. Like maybe Hank wants that out. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, listen, I am a dying man who runs a car wash, or I hand to God, that's all I am. What is the point?
Mm-hmm.
And Hank starts bargaining.
Yeah.
He's like, you have Skylar and have her bring the kids here and then we can talk, we can negotiate.
Yeah.
And Walt, like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No,
you know, just you're got not taking
my family. Yeah. I just got them back, you know, and we get this really great chilling exchange here at the end.
Yeah. I don't know who you are. I don't even know who I'm talking to. You know, and again, he's like, Hank is like a million miles away. Like it is, you know, crashing into him. And Walt hasn't been in Heisenberg mode, this entire time. Like he's not doing that's not meth, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different kind of badass. It's not the act.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the blowfish.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he responds like, well, if that's true, you know, if you don't know who I am, then maybe your best course would be to tread lightly.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's real, I'm a werewolf, lock me up.
Uh-huh.
Kind of shit. Like, I know what I'm capable of trying not to have this happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, on some level.
Yeah.
I do not want Hank to get caught in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the way out of this that could just be we go back to how things are before and there isn't?
Yeah.
You know? And one of the things I like about this episode, how it ends and the next one begins, is how quickly things are escalating. Because it ends on a cliffhanger, them just staying there. Facing each other. I'm really glad the second half of the season started with Hank finding out and confronting Walt right away.
Uh-huh.
Rather than like, you know, a buildup of him putting together evidence and shit.
Like playing footsie to it. Like they dispense of that with a montage, right?
Yep. It's much better with this. And we immediately get tactics. Like we immediately get him improvising.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And we end up in a really interesting stalemate. And God, I love that we're going to get Jesse in the fold. Like we get the Jesse and Marie mix up.
Jesse and Marie is fun. Uh-huh. It's real sad the way that Hank does not give a shit, even a little bit about Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that both these two men are kind of using him as a proxy token between this. It's good. And then obviously while this is happening, the dipshits of the Breaking Bad crime-averse are just making things worse and worse.
Yeah, Declan Heads. Declan Heads, you got some stuff to answer for, I think.
We get Declan Heads, Lydia Heads. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's a Lydia Head. Nazi Heads. You know, Jack Heads. I forgot that the main guy who plays Jack also plays Army Buddy Brad in Beef House.
Yep.
He's really good in that.
It's so good. This ain't really some kind of Beef House, is it?
Is it? No, it's not a Beef House. It sucks that Beef House is basically lost media.
Yeah, like, I know.
If you bought it on iTunes, you're okay.
Yeah, like I've got a hold of it. I mean, I have to imagine there's a torrent out there somewhere.
Yeah, you can always pirate stuff.
Yeah.
We encourage it.
Yeah, very. Just watch it. Early Vera Drew work.
Yeah. Not that early. She worked with him for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
She worked on Check It Out and stuff as well.
Gotcha.
So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us here on this home stretch.
Yeah.
If you have things to say about the wrap up of season 5, you can write in duckfeed.tv/contact for the final kind of roundtable about those. Mm-hmm. We'd appreciate that. The other things you can do is go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. $5 a month gets you a bunch of bonus shows. $10 a month gives you more. And ratings and reviews on whatever podcast thing that you choose also help us out quite a bit.
Yeah, Gary, you took everything. You took everything except reminding them to thank Gwen, our producer, yeah, and the composer of our theme song.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. Yeah, and until next time, like...
Tread lightly.
Tread lightly. Yeah.
Just in general. No need to stomp around.